Living Under Nazi Rule, 1933 to 1945, an OCR GCSE history podcast. Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've joined me today. Whether you're revising for your OCR GCSE history exam or just trying to get your head around one of the most important and most examined topics in modern history, you are in exactly the right place. Today, we're diving deep into Living Under Nazi Rule from 1933 to 1945. This is a topic that rewards students who know their specific detail, dates, names, statistics, and who can think analytically about how the Nazi regime maintained its grip on power. So let's get started. By the end of this episode, you'll understand the key mechanisms of Nazi control, how different groups in German society experienced life under the regime, how persecution of Jewish people escalated from discrimination to genocide, and, crucially, how to turn all of this into exam marks. Let's go. Section 1, Core Concepts. How the Nazis maintain control. The central question running through this entire topic is, how did the Nazis manage to control a modern, educated, industrialized nation? And the answer, which your examiner absolutely wants to see, is that they used a combination of terror and persuasion. Neither alone was sufficient. Together, they were devastatingly effective. Let's start with terror. The key organizations you must know are the SS, the Gestapo, and, to a lesser extent, the SA. The SS, or Schutzstaffel, was founded in 1925 as Hitler's personal bodyguard. Under Heinrich Himmler, it became the most powerful organization in Nazi Germany. The SS ran the concentration camp system, beginning with Dachau, which opened in March 1933, just weeks after Hitler became chancellor. By 1939, the SS had grown to over 240,000 members. They were the regime's most loyal enforcers. The Gestapo was the secret state police. Here's a fact that surprises many students. The Gestapo had only around 32,000 agents across the whole of Germany. That's a remarkably small number for a country of 70 million people. So how did they maintain such effective surveillance? The answer is informers. Ordinary Germans reported on their neighbors, colleagues, even family members. Historians like Robert Gellatly have argued that the Gestapo was largely a reactive organization. It responded to tip-offs rather than proactively hunting opponents. This tells us something important. The regime relied on a degree of popular participation in its terror. Now, don't confuse the SS with the SA. The SA, the Sturmabteilung, or Brown Shirts, were the Nazi stormtroopers who used street violence to intimidate opponents in the early years. By 1934, they had around 3 million members. But their leader, Ernst Röhm, wanted the SA to replace the regular army, which alarmed both Hitler and the military establishment. In June 1934, Hitler ordered the murder of Röhm and other SA leaders in what became known as the Night of the Long Knives. Around 85 people were killed. After this, the SA was sidelined and the SS became dominant. Now let's turn to persuasion. Joseph Goebbels was appointed Minister of Propaganda in March 1933, and he immediately set about controlling every aspect of German cultural life. The Reich Chamber of Culture meant that writers, artists, musicians, and journalists could only work if they were members, and membership was denied to Jews and political opponents. By 1939, there were over 16 million radios in German homes, making it the most radio-saturated country in the world. Goebbels used radio, film, rallies, and posters to promote the Nazi message relentlessly. The Nuremberg rallies were a masterpiece of propaganda. Hundreds of thousands of people gathered each year in a carefully choreographed spectacle designed to make participants feel part of something powerful and historic. Albert Speer's Cathedral of Light, searchlights pointing into the night sky, created an almost religious atmosphere. But propaganda wasn't just about politics. The KDF, Kraft durch Freude, or Strength Through Joy, was a leisure organization that offered ordinary workers subsidized holidays, theater tickets, concerts, and even the promise of a Volkswagen car. By 1938, KDF was the largest leisure organization in the world with 25 million members. This is crucial for your exam. Many Germans genuinely benefited from Nazi policies, particularly in the early years. Unemployment fell from 6 million in 1933 to under 1 million by 1938. This economic recovery generated real popular support, what historians call consent. Section 2. Social groups under Nazi rule. Now let's look at how specific groups experienced life under the regime. Your OCR specification focuses particularly on women, youth, workers, and Jewish people. Women. The Nazi ideal for women was encapsulated in the phrase Kinder, Küche, Kirche, children, kitchen, church. Women were expected to be wives and mothers, not workers or professionals. The Lebensborn program encouraged racially pure women to have children. Women were awarded the Mother's Cross, bronze for 4 children, silver for 6, gold for 8. Female doctors and civil servants were dismissed from their posts in 1933. However, and this is important for showing change over time, when the war began in 1939 and labor shortages became acute, the regime was forced to bring women back into the workforce. By 1944, over half of all German workers were women. So, the Nazi policy towards women changed significantly between the peace years and the war years. Youth. The Hitler Youth and its female equivalent, the League of German Girls, Bund Deutscher Mädel, or BDM, were central to Nazi indoctrination. Membership became compulsory in 1936. By 1939, there were 8 million members of the Hitler Youth alone. Young people were taught Nazi ideology, physical fitness, and loyalty to Hitler above all else, including their parents. However, not all young people conformed. The Edelweiss Pirates were working-class teenagers who rejected Nazi regimentation, wore distinctive badges, and sometimes beat up Hitler Youth patrols. The Swing Youth were middle-class teenagers who listened to American jazz music, which the Nazis considered degenerate. These are important examples of nonconformity, though they fell short of organized political resistance. Workers. The German labor front replaced independent trade unions, which were banned in May 1933. Workers lost the right to strike or negotiate wages. However, unemployment fell dramatically, and the KDF provided genuine leisure benefits. The Beauty of Labor program improved working conditions in many factories. Most workers, it seems, accepted the trade-off: less freedom in exchange for economic security. Jewish people. The persecution of Jewish Germans was the most systematic and ultimately genocidal aspect of Nazi rule. It escalated in distinct stages, which you absolutely must know for your exam. In April 1933, there was a national boycott of Jewish businesses. The Nuremberg Laws of September 1935 stripped Jews of German citizenship and banned marriage between Jews and non-Jews. In November 1938, Kristallnacht, the Night of Broken Glass, saw a coordinated pogrom across Germany. 7,500 Jewish businesses were destroyed. 1,400 synagogues were burned, 91 Jews were killed, and 30,000 were sent to concentration camps. After war began in 1939, Jews in occupied territories were forced into ghettos. The Wannsee Conference in January 1942 coordinated the final solution: the systematic murder of all European Jews. By 1945, 6 million Jews had been murdered in the Holocaust. Section 3, Exam Tips and Common Mistakes. Right, let's talk about how to turn this knowledge into marks. I want to go through the most common mistakes I see candidates make and how to avoid them. Mistake number 1, confusing the SS and the SA. I cannot stress this enough. The SA were the brown shirts, street fighters, 3 million strong sidelined after 1934. The SS were the black shirts, Himmler's elite force, ran the camps, dominated after 1934. The Gestapo was the secret police, separate from both, though it worked closely with the SS. Get these three organizations clear in your mind. Mistake number 2, saying all Germans were terrified into submission. This ignores the genuine popularity of the regime, especially in the mid-1930s. Unemployment fell, the economy recovered, and many Germans genuinely supported Hitler. High-level answers acknowledge both terror and consent. Mistake number 3, treating the Nazi period as one unchanging bloc. Your examiner specifically rewards candidates who show change over time. The pre-war period, 1933 to 1939, was characterized by gradual persecution and economic recovery. The war years, 1939 to 1945, saw radicalization, the Holocaust, total war, increasing coercion as the regime became desperate. Mistake number 4, and this is the big one for source questions, saying a source is biased and therefore useless. This will cost you marks every single time. A biased source is not useless. A Nazi propaganda poster is incredibly useful precisely because it shows us what the regime wanted people to believe. Its bias reveals the regime's intentions and methods. Always explain how the provenance affects usefulness, not just whether it does. For how useful questions, use this four-part structure. Content: what does the source actually say or show? Provenance: who created it, when, and why? Usefulness: how does this help us understand the inquiry? Limitations: what does it not tell us, or what might distort it? For explanation questions, explain why. Use the Peel structure. Point, evidence with specific detail, explanation of how the evidence supports the point, link back to the question, and aim for at least three separate, well-developed paragraphs. For the final essay question, allocate a full 20 minutes. It carries the highest marks and requires a sustained, balanced argument. Don't just list points, analyze them, weigh them against each other, and reach a clear judgment. Section 4. Quick Fire Recall Quiz. Time for our quick fire quiz. I'll ask the question, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then I'll give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. In what month and year did Hitler become Chancellor of Germany? The answer is January 1933. Question 2. What were the two main laws passed at Nuremberg in September 1935? The answer is the Reich Citizenship Law, which stripped Jews of citizenship, and the Law for the Protection of German Blood and Honor, which banned marriage between Jews and non-Jews. Question 3. How many members did the Hitler Youth have by 1939? 8 million. Question 4. What was the name of the Nazi leisure organization and what does it stand for in English? GGF, Kraft durch Freude, Strength through Joy. Question 5. In what year did the Wannsee Conference take place and what did it coordinate? January 1942. It coordinated the final solution, the systematic murder of European Jews. Question 6. Name one example of youth nonconformity under the Nazis, either the Edelweiss Pirates or the Swing Youth. Both are correct. Question 7. What happened on the night of the Long Knives in June 1934? Hitler ordered the murder of SA leader Ernst Röhm and around 85 others, removing a potential rival and consolidating SS power. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and review that section. Those are exactly the kinds of specific facts that earn marks in the exam. Section 5. Summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Living under Nazi rule, 1933 to 1945, is a topic about power, control, and human experience. The Nazis maintained their rule through a combination of terror, the SS, Gestapo, and concentration camps, and persuasion, propaganda, economic recovery, and organizations like the KDF. Different groups experienced the regime very differently. Workers gained economic security, but lost rights. Women were pushed into domestic roles, but later called back to work. Young people were indoctrinated through the Hitler Youth, and Jewish Germans faced an escalating campaign of persecution that culminated in the Holocaust. For your exam, remember three golden rules. First, be specific. Dates, names, statistics, they all earn marks. Second, show change over time. The regime in 1933 was not the same as the regime in 1943. Third, for source questions, never dismiss a source as biased. Explain how the bias reveals something important. You've got this. The more you practice retrieving this knowledge, testing yourself, writing time paragraphs, doing past papers, the more confident you'll feel walking into that exam hall. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.